And as we look at this, that the way the Jewish calendar worked, the day started at sunset, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the one day ended at sunset and the new day, like not like us where it's midnight. So as we go through what we go through tonight with the stuff after his crucifixion and his resurrection, that becomes really important. So let's just do a little review. On Monday, the 12th of Nisan, and remember I said this year was interesting because it lined up. You know, Wednesday, the way Passover was, it started on Thursday this year. And I went back in other calendars because I saved my calendars year to year. And it doesn't always work like that. You know, it's different every year. We celebrate Easter on Sunday because that's the day, you know, it's tradition and it was recognized. But if we did it according to the Jewish calendar, we would not.
Right.
It would be on a different day. So, but this year it lined up perfectly just the way it was in the year that Jesus Christ died. So Monday the 12th of Nisan culminated with the beginning of the Last Supper. So he got up early that Monday morning, as he always did, and he went through the day, and then they had the Last Supper. And then at sundown, you know, went through sundown, then to Tuesday, the 13th of Nisan, you know, it began with the Last Supper, and then it ended with him being at the judgment hall. And in between, he went to the courtyard of Annas, and then he went to Caiaphas, where he was judged and had a trial, and they beat him, and then they took him to Pilate. And then Pilate, you know, sent him to Herod. Herod sent him back. Then Pilate said, you know, I'll release somebody. That's the tradition, that I release somebody, whoever you want. I can release this man. They said, no, we want Barabbas. So even though he didn't want to crucify Jesus Christ, he said, I found nothing that merits a death sentence. They just said, crucify him, crucify him. So Jesus Christ, he was crucified at 9 o'clock in the morning, or approximately 9 in the morning. And he gave his life up at 3 p.m. Wednesday afternoon on the 14th of Nisan, which is the day of preparation for the feast of the Passover. And the feast of the Passover is that feast that God instituted when Israel was in the wilderness, right? Told Moses, you know, to set it up, and it would be on the 14th. The preparation would be the 14th of Nisan, and 15th would be a high holy day. They would slaughter the lamb before sunset and prepare him, and then after sunset, they'd roast the lamb and eat it. And that was the Passover meal, and they would remember how God had sent an angel and he passed over Israel and killed all the firstborn of Egypt, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and they put blood across the lintels of their doors, the top of the door. They put blood up there, and God told them to. And so the angel of death passed over. He knew that was a Jewish household. So they did that, so he passed over. And then they remembered it, and God said, you were to do this every year. And then the first day of the Passover was the High Holy Day, and then it was a seven-day feast, and they were to eat unleavened bread, which was to understand that they didn't have the leaven in the wilderness, I guess. And then the last day was another High Holy Day, and there may have been a weekly Sabbath day in between, depending on how it fell. And it has to do with how the moon sets. It was always near the time of a month where there would be a full moon. So now we're going to go, we're going to look at the records after the death of Jesus Christ and his burial. So we're going to start in Matthew 27 and verse 57. It says, and when even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. So he was a rich man, and he was a disciple of Jesus Christ. And Arimathea is a town about 25 miles away from Jerusalem. So he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in his own tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. So, Joseph was a wonderful man, and he went and got the body of Jesus Christ. And because he went to see Pilate, a Gentile, and because he handled the dead body, he now could not participate in the Passover, which was a big deal to the Jews. And he rolled Jesus up in a linen cloth. Now, that's important because in the East, they had a specific way of preparing a body for burial. And in the Jewish religion, I'm not sure if it's in the law, but I believe it is. But even today, Jews, you have to bury the body within 24 hours. You don't sit like we do. They don't embalm their bodies.
Right, they still do it.
Yeah, they still do it today. And so then they bury the body within 24 hours, and then the family does what they call, they sit Shiva. They sit and they mourn and grieve, and the neighbors come and bring them food and so on and so forth. So Joseph was willing to give up the Passover so he could make sure that Jesus Christ was buried. And it says in verse 60, he had laid him in his own tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. In the Aramaic, he is they. Now, it said that Joseph was a rich man, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to believe that he had servants, because all rich people back then had servants. So I'm sure he did not hew the tomb out by himself, but rather had his servants do it. And he didn't do it for himself, obviously, because he didn't live anywhere near there. And it was in a place near where they crucified criminals. So it probably wasn't prime real estate, so to speak, you know? It was a place where it was close to where they crucified people. So his only reason for having a tomb prepared at the place was that it was for Jesus. That could be the only reason. And the reason he wrapped them in a linen cloth, it is believed, was because he was the one guy that believed that Jesus Christ would rise from the dead quickly. Nobody else did. As a matter of fact, the women, as we're going to see, they were going to come back and anoint the body with oils and myrrh and all that stuff. And then they were going to wrap him in the grave clothes, the traditional grave clothes, which would have been strips of linen. And then they prepare him with the oil and the different things. And then they wrap the body, and then they put it like a napkin or a cloth over the face. So let's go to Mark 15. Mark 15 and verse 42. And now when even was come, because it was preparation, it was the preparation, that is, before the Sabbath. Okay, so he was killed on Wednesday the 14th, which was the preparation day for the feast. Because, again, in Israel, in the law, on a high holy day, they weren't allowed to do any menial labor. right? They weren't allowed to do labor. So they would prepare the feast the day before, and then they would just put it on the fire the next day, and then they would eat it, and they would, you know, of course, do their ceremonial stuff and whatever else they did. So when the even was come, you know, that means when the sun was getting ready to set, because it was preparation, that is, after the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. So now we read before that he was a rich man, right? A very rich man. And here it says that he was an honorable counselor, which would mean that he was a member of the Sanhedrin. So he would have been a Pharisee, yet he was a disciple of Jesus Christ. And it says here he looked forward to the kingdom of God, or he's waiting for the kingdom of God. And he went boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. And remember what we talked about with the crucifixion, how usually it would take a long time for somebody to die. And that's why they broke the legs of the first and then the other, but they didn't break the legs of Jesus Christ because he was already dead. He had given up his life. But Pilate marveled, and calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. That's a strange way to say. Mm-hmm. Say it, you know, it's King James English, but what's he saying? He called the centurion and says, I want you to go check and make sure that he's really dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. Now, we read two verses there, and obviously time had to pass, right?
Yeah.
So when he knew it of the centurion, when the centurion went, ran to the place where the crucifixion was, came back, and he said, okay, Pilate, he's really dead. Then Pilate said, okay, Joseph, you can have the body. And he bought the fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in the sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. So they were there watching what was going on. Now let's go to Luke chapter 23. So the whole time period from the time Jesus Christ got up on Monday morning, started doing his thing, went through the afternoon into the evening, they had the Last Supper, and then he was arrested on Tuesday late. And then they went through his trials into the morning, and he was beaten and tortured and all that stuff. And then finally, when he died on the cross, was about 57 hours. Isn't that something? 57 hours he was going through that stuff without sleep, without food. Anyway, Luke 23, verse 50. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and just. So now we learn something else about Joseph, that he was a good man and just, or righteous. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. In other words, when they voted and said, you know, let's crucify him, let's kill him, Joseph did not vote for the death penalty. He didn't agree with them. He was of Arimathea, city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in the sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never before was a man laid. So, and it goes on and it talks about the preparation. In verse 55, it says, and the women also, well, it says, and the day was the preparation and the Sabbath drew on, meaning it was approaching, right? Because approximately he died at 3, and sundown would have been reckoned about 6 o'clock in the evening, which would have been the start of the High Holy Day. And so that would have been a High Holy Day, and everything else in Israel would have stopped at that moment in time. Okay? And the women also, plural, which came with him from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. So these women had all intentions. They saw what Joseph did, how he quickly wrapped him in linen without any ointments or spices. Okay, thanks. So anyway, so the women there were watching, and they saw that Joseph didn't give him what they would consider a proper burial. So they went and bought and prepared spices and ointments, but it was too late for them to go back to the tomb. So they rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. So that's what they did because they didn't have a choice, right? So he was crucified on Wednesday. Thursday was the Passover. And then the only day they would have been able to do that would have been Friday, because then Saturday would have been the weekly Sabbath. So again, they wouldn't be able to do anything like that. Let's go to John chapter 19. Chapter 19, and we're going to start in verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. So, according to Jesus Christ, our Passover, Joseph was apprehensive about the Jews. And he was concerned that if they knew what he was doing, they would try to stop him. So he kind of laid low during the events of the crucifixion so that he would be free to claim the body from Pilate and set him in the sepulcher or the tomb. So he came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. So Joseph of Arimathea came. He got the body. He took it to the sepulcher, the tomb that he had prepared. He wrapped Jesus Christ in the linen cloth. You know, it says he rolled them up and he put them in there. And then it says this guy Nicodemus came along. Now, Nicodemus was also a Pharisee. And in John chapter 3, it says he came to Jesus Christ by night and asked Jesus Christ. He said, you know, we know you are from God because of the miracles and things you do. And Jesus Christ said, you cannot see the kingdom of God except you be born again. And then Nicodemus was like, what are you talking about? And Jesus Christ explains it to him. So he comes with a myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Now, again, Nicodemus is, we believe, to be a wealthy man. First of all, to have 100 pound weight, or how much ever that was in the Hebrew measurement, it would have been very, very expensive. Then took they the body, they being him and his cohort servants, probably. They took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. So then Nicodemus came and gave him the proper burial. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden was a new sepulcher, wherein was never a man laid. There laid they, Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. So that's what they did. They did it so that he, had the proper burial. So it appears that Joseph expected Jesus Christ to rise quickly, as foretold in the scriptures and by Jesus Christ himself, whereas others, the women and Nicodemus, did not expect him to rise fast because they gave him the proper burial with the spices and the ointments and the grave clothes and all the other stuff. So now we go to the following day, the High Holy Day, and let's go back to Matthew 27. Verse 62. Now, the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate. You know, through this whole thing, we have to remember who's behind the opposition to Jesus Christ. Right. It's the devil. You know, the very beginning, when he was in the wilderness and he came and he was finished the 40 days of fasting, the devil came to him and the first thing he said is, if you're really the Son of God, right, you'll turn these stones into bread. And then when he was on the cross, again, what did they say? If you are really the Son of God, you'll come off the cross. And the devil was fighting this and opposing everything that God was doing with Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, he didn't do a very good job because Jesus Christ was victorious in this whole thing. But that's the opposition. Even in death, people oppose Jesus Christ. So the Pharisees and the high priest, the chief priest, come to Pilate. Now, when did they come? The following day, the High Holy Day, they came to Pilate. They're supposed to be doing other things. They're supposed to be leading the people in the worship and the ceremonies of Passover. They're not supposed to be talking to Gentiles. And they says, sir, we remember that the deceiver, that's what they call Jesus Christ, that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. You know, it's kind of interesting. His disciples and followers didn't necessarily believe it, but these guys were worried about it. It's kind of ironic. Really ironic. I never thought about it until I just read it. You know, his disciples, they're prepared, except for Joseph, everybody's preparing to have him in the ground a while, and they forgot all about how he had explained to them and the prophecies about how he would rise from the dead in 3 days, and yet the Pharisees and the chief priests, they were concerned about it. So verse 64, command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. So they're saying, look, Pilate, he said he was going to get up after 3 days. We want to make sure there's no shenanigans. So you need to put a guard on the tomb so that his disciples don't steal away his body and then tell everybody he rose from the dead. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way and make sure as you can. He said, you guys got your own temple guard. You have your own police force. So you take care of it. You make sure that nothing happens. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone, and setting a watch. And how they would seal the stone. In Daniel, when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, it talks about how they sealed the entranceway to the lion's den with a stone, and then Nebuchadnezzar, or whoever the king was, I forget, put his signet ring on it.
Was it? Or Nebuchadnezzar?
I'm not sure.
I think it was Darius.
I think it was Darius, yeah. Yeah. But anyway, he sealed it with his signet ring. And that's what they would have done. They would have put some kind of, you know, melted wax on there or something and put some kind of mark in there to show that it was sealed, that nobody was to touch it. So that's what they did there. So even in death and burial, the chief priests and Pharisees were doing whatever they could to discredit Jesus Christ. So they defiled themselves by doing this, but that's what they did. And they requested that it be guarded until the third day. So he died on Wednesday afternoon before sunset. And now it's the next day, so it's Thursday, so they want it to be guarded Thursday, Friday, and Saturday until Sunday, you know, until sundown on Saturday. So there would be no access to the grave until Sunday, the 18th of Nisan. So now let's go to Mark chapter 16. So remember, the women had bought spices. They thought that they were going to go and do this for Jesus Christ. But they didn't realize, they left, and they didn't realize that Nicodemus had come. So in Mark 16, and when the Sabbath was passed, the high holy day, Thursday, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? So that was the 18th of Nisan. That was, that was Resurrection Sunday. Now we're going to go back to Matthew, chapter 28. And we're going to start in verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. Now that's the weekly Sabbath, right? Mm-hmm. Because what happened was the women, they bought the spices, but then the guard was there, so they couldn't do anything on Friday, which was the day they had that window of opportunity between Sabbaths, so they had to wait till Sunday. It began to dawn toward the first day of the week, and Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Woohoo! Now, let's see, I want to read that again. In the end of the Sabbath, in Lamza, he translates this, in the evening of the Sabbath, when the first day of the week began to dawn, there came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the tomb. Okay, when it says the dawn, it doesn't mean dawn like the sun rising here, but it means, you know, in the evening of the Sabbath, meaning it's sunset. The Sabbath, it's the sunset, or the evening of the Sabbath. It's when it's going to end, and the first day of week is going to begin. And that's when Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came. And it would be at sunset. Rickaberry's Interlinear translated, now late on the Sabbath, as it was getting dusk, toward the first day of the week came Mary, and so on and so forth. You know, in other words, they came in the evening. That would be very early on that first day of the week, right? It would be after sunset. So on Saturday evening, in our reckoning, the close of the weekly Sabbath, the women came to the grave to look upon the tomb. And verse 2, it says, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. So, behold is to get your attention. And the two women, they had come and looked at the tomb. The stone was there. The guards were still there, and they left. And that's when the angel came. Okay? That's when the angel shows up. We have gone through all the difficulties, the rejections, the trials, the accusations, the beatings, the torture, and the death of our Lord. Now we get to enjoy his victory, his resurrection. So let's go back to John chapter 20. John chapter 20 and verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. So now she comes back. Mary Magdalene left that night, and now it says she came back early in the morning before sunrise. And she came herself early. Now, according to Jesus Christ, our Passover, there would have been somewhere between 3/4 of a full moon and a full moon. So there would have been a lot of light for her to find her way. Then she sees the stone taken away, and she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. She doesn't say who they is. Mm-hmm. I guess she assumed maybe the Romans or the Sadducees or the Pharisees might have done it, because she seems to be pretty upset. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. So what we learn from this is Peter wasn't so fast. The other guy was quicker. Verse 5, and he, that other disciple, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. So, he didn't go in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So, so Mary saw it first. She ran to get Peter. I'm going to read out of Jesus Christ, Our Passover, on page 316 and 17. The linen wrappings, the othonian, that's the Greek word for the linen wrappings. There is a different word for the linen cloth that Joseph wrapped him up, and the wrappings were called a different word. It's othonian. The linen wrappings remained as they had been when swathed around the body. The record in John 20 is making the point that these grave wrappings were undisturbed. They were still in the position as when containing a body. In other words, they were all in their wrapped state. They hadn't been unraveled. When Jesus Christ was raised, he had been given a new body. In his new spiritual body, Jesus Christ had passed through the grave wrappings. If his body had been taken by others, as Mary claimed, these grave clothes would have either have been taken along with the body, or they would have been unwound and tossed to the side. The cloth that had covered his face was neatly folded and placed off to the side. when the other disciple, the disciple whom Jesus loved, saw the empty tomb and the undisturbed grave wrappings, he believed. He realized Jesus Christ had been raised from the dead. That's pretty cool, I think. I think that's really amazing. But when you think about it, makes sense, right? Jesus Christ, he walked through walls. Why couldn't he pass through the grave clothes? Why would he take the time to unravel them when he could just leave? Yeah, and he folded that up neatly because he was a neat guy. Verse 9. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. The word home means place. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, and one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Wow, that's pretty interesting, huh? She didn't recognize him. She didn't recognize anything about him. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. She thought he was the gardener, really the word gardener is the keeper of the garden. I don't know if he was a guy that used a hoe and a rake or anything, but he was the guy that watched over the garden where they buried people. I'm sure, you know, had to have somebody watch over it and take care of it. So she didn't recognize him, and she said, Do you know where they took him? Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. So as soon as he said her name, she knew who it was. Because she's the one that Jesus Christ had cast out the seven spirits. I mean, she got great deliverance, and she was a disciple from that point on. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Okay? So she mistook. Now, what did it say here? Did I skip anything?
No.
Okay. Okay, so it says in Jesus Christ, our Passover, Jesus Christ did not allow Mary to touch him because he was the first fruits from the dead. Now, this is really interesting. The wave offering of the first fruits, in which the first fruits of the spring barley harvest were presented as an offering to God in the temple, was to occur that same day. Jesus Christ would now replace that offering as the true first fruits from the dead. Normally, the priest presenting the offering would go to the temple to present it before the Lord. That is the meaning of the expression, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Christ would go up and, as the high priest, present himself before God as the first fruits from the dead. It does not refer to the ascension to heaven, which was yet 40 days away. So there's a whole explanation about Leviticus, where it says, Leviticus 23, 10 and 11, "Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye be come into the land which I have given unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf or a handful of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath," which is the weekly Sabbath, "during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The priest shall wave it." So after the feast of the Passover, that first weekly Sabbath, the day after, they were supposed to give this wave offering of the first fruits. And Jesus Christ was that wave offering of the first fruits. So he told Mary not to touch him because he had to ascend, meaning he had to go up to the temple, because the temple was on the Temple Mount, right? And he had to go into the Holy of Holies before God and offer himself as that offering. So, verse 18. "Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her." So, what a day she had.
Yeah.
And in Mark 16, it says, 11, it says that she came and told them, and it says the disciples did not believe. Mm-hmm. They believed not. And then let's go back to Matthew 28, and we'll close up there tonight. And we're going to start in verse 5. "And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he has said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth forth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him." So that happened after he went to the temple and came back, because now they could touch him. They held him by the feet. "Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came unto the city and showed unto the chief priests all things that were done." I guess those guys that, you know, fainted or were as dead, got up, woke up, and they went and told the high priest what was going on. "And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you." And I guess because they let that happen, they were liable to also get whacked. Mm-hmm. So the priests are saying, okay, you lie, but we'll protect you. We have your back. You tell a lie. So they did that. "So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day." So that's the day of the resurrection. Now we just have 40 days to deal with. And still, Jesus Christ does a lot of stuff in those 40 days, and we'll see what he did. And he still had to deal with some opposition. But, of course, it was a lot easier now because he was resurrected, and it was a whole different ballgame. So, Father God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for loving us, for taking care of us, and what a great victory that we see in Christ Jesus, how he defeated death for each and every one of us, how he so trusted you that he allowed himself to die on that cross, and how you raised him from the dead. We thank you, God, for what a great and momentous thing that is. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.